So it was funny when just to be, can I be real with you guys? Do you mind if I'm real? Can you handle that? I mean, can you handle the transparency? Are you okay with that? That's how I preach. I mean, what you see is what you get sometimes. It ain't all pretty. My wife, she's the pretty one. So, you know, my kids, they're beautiful. But, I mean, it's sometimes you get what you get. So I remember when before I came, I was coming down here anyways. I had some different expectations to come down. And then I get a call from Dave. And Dave's like, hey, so was wondering, Pastor John was wondering if you wanted to preach. And I was like, nope. And it's not, and I don't say nope like that because I don't value being up here and giving the opportunity. I do. I appreciate that. It's not easy to do that. And I recognize that. And I value that. And I treasure that. So I want you to all know, it's like, oh, it's not, I'm just throwing something away. I'm not taking it for granted. But I was like, I had different expectations. And that was not one of my expectations. I was supposed to come down here, do some things, relax, have some fun, and then go back up to Pennsylvania and be here down with my son. That was my expectation. But then I was like, when Dave said, you want to come preach? And I was like, nope, that's good. He's like, okay, I'll tell John. And I was like, God, all right. I don't want to come down. But if you have John call me back, I'll know there's a sign. Guess who called me back in a few minutes later? That man right there, Pastor John. I was like, oh, Jesus. And I was like, what are you doing, Father? What are you doing? I'm like, I want to go down, relax, you know, because preaching is, I mean, preaching's tough. If you've ever preached, it's tough. I mean, because I have to deal with what God's dealing with me before any of you guys get to deal with this stuff. So I'm like, Jesus, help me. And he's just churning on my heart, doing things. That, not say it's a bad thing, but sometimes it's tough. And depending on what type of words you're giving, it can be really tough. But it's like, all right, God, I just kind of want to go. So I talked to Pastor John. I was like, all right, Pastor John, let me pray about it at least. And then you know, when God takes you out to the woodshed or he takes you out to discipline you, do you ever get that? No, you guys don't get that. You guys are wonderful. You guys are spiritual. Y'all are wonderful men and women of God. Y'all don't have to deal with God disciplining you, do you? No, just me. It's just me. It must be. So God took me to the woodshed and he had a little talk with me. And I'll tell you one thing. If you had a talk with Jesus, and it ain't so nice sometimes. I'm like, all right, Jesus, I was wrong. I'm sorry. I need to be better prepared. I can't give the answer so quickly. And he dealt with my heart and some things needed to change. But in all of that, when he dealt with that, my expectancy changed, though. And that's what I want to talk about today, expectancy. Is your expectancy something different than what it should be? Is it? Do you come? There's two types of people in church. And I've been around it long enough to know two types of people. There's people that want to get whatever they can in church. They want to get. They're just like, I want to get. I want to feed. I want to get this stuff. I want to get this. And that's their expectation. God, give me this. Friends, give me this. Pastor, give me this. I want this. I want that. I want this and this and this and this. And we've become more of a culture of getting in church. But how many of you know there's another type of churchgoer? And that's a giver. And the expectation of a giver is, I'm giving to God my glory. I'm giving him my praise. I'm giving him my worship. I'm giving him what he deserves. I'm giving him my time. I'm giving my pastor blessing to encourage and prayer for him. I'm giving my fellow friends, my fellow Christians, my fellow Bible believers, I'm giving them conversation. I'm giving them love. I'm sharing what God is doing in me. And can you see the difference between expectancy? Can you see the difference in expectancy? Oh, sorry, I can't talk. Expectancy. Can you see the difference on getting and giving? Because how many of you know Jesus was a giver? He was a big giver. And I want to encourage you today with your expectancy, be a giver. Give. Don't come to, I mean, there are seasons when we come to church, we're like, Jesus, I need you. There are seasons, now I'm not saying that those are seasons are wrong. There are seasons where you are going through some stuff and you're like, God, I got to have you. I need you so desperately, God. I need you to move in my life because of this and that. Thank you so much. I need you to move so desperately in life. I'm not talking about the seasons. I'm talking about the everyday of expectancy. How many of you know if you expect something, it's probably going to happen, isn't it? Let me back up. Let me make it a little. Let's make it, back it up a little bit. Let's say, all right, Dave here. He's a smart guy, isn't he? I like Dave. He's a good guy. I like picking on Dave too because he's a good guy. Or you want me to pick on Josh? All right, Josh. Here we go. So I'm picking on Josh. I picked on Dave enough. I prayed for Dave, so Josh is fresh game. So Josh, how many? Now you're a teacher, correct? Okay, and you've got, what grade do you teach? All. You are a very, wow. Okay. So art is a subject I did horrible at. I don't even understand it now, but, you know, that's okay. You know, the Lord will help me, you know, whatever that is. So maybe I can take some classes from you in that all grade later on, maybe. So how many of you know when Josh gives out a test? Now, I don't think they give out tests in artwork, which is okay, but they do? Wow, okay. All right, maybe. Art's definitely increases last time I was there. So, oh, okay, all right. Well, so when Josh was studying to become a professor for art, you had to study for those things, correct, in high school or college. So to become a teacher, he had to take tests, correct? He had to take tests. So how many of you believe if he didn't study for the test, didn't study for any of the materials, and expected to pass, how many think he would have passed? Probably not. Probably, I mean, he had the belief he would pass, yay! But he didn't open a book, he didn't research anything, he didn't read anything, he even fell asleep while the teacher was teaching. Josh, how could you? Josh is like, yeah, I did that. How many of you believe that Josh would pass that test? Probably not. But if Josh studied, opened that book, read it, was quizzed and said, you know what? I'm going in there believing I'm going to ace that test. How many of you know that he's probably going to ace that test? Well, let's apply that to church. If we come expecting God to move in this house, having the expectancy for God to move mightily in this house, for his glory to shine in this house, for miracles, signs, and wonders to happen. If we come in expecting these things to happen and having the belief there and having the preparation saying, God, I've been praying all week. God, I've been ministering to you all week. I want to see you move mightily in this house. Move mightily with this group. Move mightily in my friends and in your body. How many of you know with that type of expectation and preparation that it can happen? Sometimes we get caught up in it. I mean, I can agree with you. Sometimes I get caught up in the church week activity where it's like, all right, we'll go to church. All right, God moved. Great. We'll go again. You know, great. All right, God moved. All right. And we get so used to just the routine of everything. And then that routine becomes habits and patterns. And then those patterns become tradition. And that tradition becomes religion. We need relationship, not religion. The world needs relationship, not religion, not tradition. They need the all-powerful, loving Father that can set them free from addictions, from lifestyles, from patterns. And boy, he's so good at loving people, isn't he? He's so good at loving people. It's not, I heard this one time that if you become a Christian, it's just a bunch of rules and guidelines, and that's it. And yes, to a religion-based orientation of Jesus, it can look that way. But you forget having a relationship with him. It's not rules or guidelines. It's saying, I'm not going to do that because that might hurt my relationship with him, and I love him more than doing that in the first place. When you have a relationship with him where you're saying, I don't really want to go that direction because I don't want to mess up what we have. I want to stay right where in him. I want to abide in that vine. I want to abide in his presence. I want to swim in those waters. I want to be submerged in his love. And that's what we can have. We can all have that. But we have to have the expectancy to do that. Expectancy is the results of preparation and belief. That's what it is. Because whatever you prepare for and whatever you believe is going to be what your expectancy is. If you're doing it in this house, you're going to see some great things. But if you treat Sunday just like any other day, you're not going to see God's power flow. And then when you don't see God's power flow, you put God in a box. And then when you put God in a box, you become a handicapped Christian is what I call it. And you know, whenever you bear fruit and whoever you raise up, if you're a handicapped Christian, that's all you can give out to someone else. And that, my friends, is something we can't do. We can't make handicapped followers because he's called us to live. He's called us to be free. He's called us to live the fullness of him and to see the fullness of him. And this world has been informed and has had handicapped Christians trying to tell people what to do and how to do it. But they can't understand because they're so handicapped themselves, these believers. They don't have any power. They don't have anything for people that are hurting and dying. Come on, church. It's up to us to go forward. It's up to us to increase and become fullness of what Jesus has for us. Come on, somebody. This is good. This is good. This is what God wants to do. Thank you, Father. Jesus, 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 Jesus. I love this one quote that Rod Parsley says. He says, the atmosphere of expectancy is the breeding ground of miracles. Now, I don't know what you think about Rod Parsley and things like that. I'm not worried about what he says about other things, but this is one quote is true. The atmosphere of expectancy is the breeding ground of miracles. How many of you want to see miracles happen in this house? And not just this house. This house is great. We love coming here. We love fellowship. I love fellowship. I've grown up in church my whole life. I do enjoy the church. I feel at home in the church. And it's good. But there are going to be people that are never going to step foot in this building probably. There are people that will never step in this foot unless you show them Jesus. Unless you show them Jesus, they're never going to step foot in this house. And even when they do step foot in this house, they're going to be a little dirty. They're going to be a little messy. It's true. I remember when I stepped foot in this house, I was still dirty and messy. I mean, it is what it is. But it's okay. Because it's not me that's going to wash somebody. It's him that's going to wash you. Because my relationship with him is going to dictate how far I let him deal with me. Now, I love a good sermon. I love that Pastor John and some of the other leaders here give us good things to think about, to deepen our understanding, and also to spur us on to do great things and to allow ourselves to be convicted by the Holy Spirit, not condemnation, but conviction. Because there is a difference. I love it how we can do those things, but we have to let God do the convicting, because if we try to force our views on someone else, then that turns into manipulation. Because not everyone is where everyone is. That's something I had to learn. I had to learn that. I mean, it's hard sometimes. I mean, I had I thought of who the perfect Christian is, and I'm like, all right, this is this, this is this, and you have to click all the boxes. And I even went to a school like that, and they had to check all the boxes, and if you checked all those boxes, then you were the perfect Christian. It wasn't Elam. And so I went to a school like that. And, you know, that's what you were grown up to be. This is the standard. But it's not always like that. Jesus says, come as you are. And he would go to anywhere, to anyone. I love it that he met a woman in Samaria at the well, and he made time to do that. If you think about how awesome that is amazing. He spent 3 years here on earth. 3 years, that's it. 3 years on earth, and he was in this little region. I mean, he didn't even go across the world or anything. He spent 3 years, and he says, I value that person enough that I'm going to go there to her and encounter her. When you think about that, as well as the mathematical odds of that, as much as God loves that person, that is purely amazing. And we can think about the same thing that God loves us. Think about this, how you were born here in this time. It's amazing that we were born at this time. Did you know the chances of you of being born the way you are 1 in 500 million? Just to be born is you in 500 million chance. Just how you are. That isn't even talking about what life situation or things going on. You just being born is 1 in 500 million. God has a plan for each and every one of us. But we have to come with expectancy of what he wants to do in us and change our minds. That way we can fulfill what God has for us. As I pause, I love it because I'm just listening to him, what he wants to do. So that's why I pause. So it's like, all right, Lord, what do you want to do? You want to do something? That's great. Let's do it. I have a whole sermon here. I got it all prepared. I got it all ready to go. But if he don't want me to share it, that's okay. He gave it to me. I'll preach it somewhere else. It's okay. He'll give me one. If it goes into the cupboard, that's all right too. I'm not worried about it. I want to make sure I'm listening to his voice on what he wants to do in this house. Because every one of you is special. Every one of you has a destiny. Everyone has been good plans laid out before you that God has for you. It's not by accident you were here. It's not by accident that you got to this house today. It's not by accident that God's given you dreams and visions and plans and a destiny. Destiny can be a person, place, or thing, though, just to let you know that. Some of you think, oh, a destiny is a goal. No, no, no. In the kingdom, it can be a person, place, or thing. I'm finding that out more and more, where God's saying, I've got something for you. I've got a destiny for you, Van. But we have to have expectancy to walk in that. We have to be able to go, we have to say, all right, Lord, I give you my thought process. I expect you to do great things. And then when we surrender our will, we surrender our lives to him, then we can more expect him to do greater things in us and through us and to us. I know that God's given me a few things. When I was praying one time, I was praying about destiny and things like that. The Lord gave me a picture of a group of ministering kids I want to minister to one day. I don't know who they are. I can see their faces. I know not names. I can see what they look like. And even now I can just picture it in my mind. God just is a snapshot of who I'm going to be ministering to in the future. I don't know who it is. But there's a group of kids and I can see them. And when God brings that back, I'm like, God, Protect the kids. Keep them strong, Father. Protect them. Change their lives. Ruin them for you, Father. I don't know who they are or where they are. I don't know if they're, you know, somewhere in Africa, somewhere in China, somewhere in Harrisburg, somewhere in Martinsville. I have no idea where these kids are. But I have a picture of these kids, and I'm like, God, you know where they are. You know who their faces are. Lord, I thank you for one day you're going to do great things in these kids' lives, and you're going to use me to do it. Amen. That's a thought process of expectancy. Yes. Expecting God to do great things. Amen. In you, to you, and through you. And if you don't have that, you need to start having it. And you might say, Well, Van, how do I start? I mean, I didn't go to Bible school. I didn't do all these things like you have. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't do all these things. It's easy. All you're doing is expecting God to move. You're surrendering what you know. You're surrendering what you have and saying, all right, God, here it is. I'm expecting you to do great things with what I have. And I trust you. Do you trust God? Amen. Do you trust his word? I mean, it says in Psalm 23 right here, it says, the Lord is my shepherd, I lack nothing. Either you're going to believe it or you're not. You're going to expect it or not. He's not going to lie in his word. And you have to say, all right, God, I'm expecting you. Right here, even says, even though I walk through the darkest valley, I will fear no evil. Right. Am I going to believe that? Am I going to expect that? Right. That's what it is. Amen. That's what expectancy is. Amen. Said, all right, God, here it is. Yes. I give it to you. I surrender it to you. Yes. And I'm expecting you to do great, wonderful things. Amen. In me, through me, and to me. Because that's what he wants to do. And the more we surrender to him, the greater the reward. And the greater we can be used by him. Because let's say this way. If you have a glass of water. See, this is wonderful to have. And thank you, Mary Grace, for getting that. This is great. This is a wonderful bottle of water. But how many of you know this will quench one person's thirst, won't it? I mean, it might quench two, you know. Someone's really thirsty, they might drink the whole thing, or two people. But this won't quench everyone's in here thirsty, will it? No. You need something larger. You need something bigger. So what God wants to do is, with expectancy, I want to not, God says, I want to not give you a bottle of water. I want to give you a 5-gallon drum. I want to give you something bigger that you can pour into people. Something that people can, their thirst will be quenched. That's what I want to do. That's what we're, the greater we serve, the greater the capacity, the greater effective and efficiency we could have. I want to affect one or two people. That's awesome. There's nothing wrong with affecting. But if God is calling you to affect more, then that's what you're supposed to do. Amen. If God's calling you to be this water bottle, and this is what you're supposed to, and this is supposed to be your capacity, if God's called you to this, that's awesome. Right. There's nothing wrong with that. But if God's calling you to greater things, yes, you need to do it. Just like the servant who had one talent, the servant that had 5 talents, and the servant that had 4 talents. The one 5 multiplied. Double. The man with 1 just had 1. Whatever God gives you is what God wants to do in you and through you. Is expecting you to do great things with it. And he's not that, the servant that had the 1 talent didn't understand God, obviously. If you know the story I'm talking about, awesome. If you don't know, master went away, gave 3 servants, one talent, another one 4 talents, another one 5 talents. And he said, I'm going away. Multiply this for me. When I get back, we'll settle up. The one with 5 talents doubled. He got another 5. He got 10 total. The one with 4 did 4. He got 8. And the one with 1 buried it in the sand. He said, I know my master is a cruel and harsh man, so I buried it. And here's the 1 talent back. Expectancy is not burying your 1 talent. Expectancy is doubling what you have. Because God wants you to do that. So, church, I want to encourage you with your expectancy in this house. I want to encourage you with where God wants to take you in this house. I love this house. I love Pastor John. I love Ronnie. I love the leadership in this house. I love you guys, and there's no doubt about that. And I want to see God do great things in this house. But if you're waiting for Pastor John to bring in 50 new people to the church, I mean, he can do it, but that's not what his expectancy is. If you're waiting for Pastor John to say, all right, I'll start moving in my gifts, I'll start moving in the Spirit when Pastor John retires from the ministry. That's what I'll start. When he retires and he's 96, then maybe I'll start moving in my gifts here at church. A long ways to go, brother. You're only, what, 42? There a few more years. If you're waiting for something to happen, don't. Expect God to use you now in this house. If you are waiting for something for Ronnie to say, all right, I'm done. Who's coming up next? What's going to happen? No. Do it now. Do what God wants you to do now. Use the giftings. Use what God has given you to do things and do it now. These gentlemen are wonderful. But they won't be here another 100 years. I can promise you that. Probably not. Unless the Lord really does something amazing, which, I mean, that would be really amazing.
Probably not more than 50.
50. I mean, let's just be honest. Let's just be honest. And so what are you going to do? Expectancy. I'm coming here to serve. I'm coming here to do what the Lord has. I'm coming here to help the body of believers. I'm coming here to partner with what Pastor John, with Ronnie, with the leadership, what the church is wanting to do. I'm coming here to partner. I'm here to say, yes, Lord, I want to see God move mightily in this house. Because they're not always going to be here. And I love them. I love you guys. But God wants to do great things. And he wants to do it in whomever wants to give. So I want to challenge everyone in this house. Don't wait. Don't wait. Don't say, well, I'll start expecting when this thing happens, or I'll start expecting to see when this comes around, when the stars are aligned or something else. Let's, no. We don't need all that nonsense. Let's do it now. Amen. Let's do it now. Let's do what God wants to do now. Let's minister now. Let's see God do great things now. Let's pray harder now. Let's expect him to move on this hill as he's done many times before. He's done it before. He's going to do it again. Let's expect him to bring revival. Let's expect him to bring awakening. Let's expect him to move mightily. Let's see the glory cloud in here. Let's see him do great things. Let him see. Let us see people coming in with wheelchairs and walking out. Let's see those things. Let's see no more people that coming here from the hospital saying, if we can just get here in this house, that God will heal me of cancer, from arthritis, from any of those things. Let's see him do it. Let's expect him to do those things because he says he will. Because when we don't expect him to do those things, then we're calling God a liar, we're putting him in a box, and we're making ourselves handicapped Christians. That's what we're doing. We're saying, God, I know better than you. That's why I'm putting you in a box, because of what I've experienced, and you are not who you say you are. Yes. That's what you're saying. But when you expect him to move, when you're expecting him to break out and do great things, then that's when God can do things. He say, thank you for letting me. Now let's do something. So right now, let's just have everyone bow their heads. We're going to just pray at the moment. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Father. So first of all, Father, as we pray, I just want to repent, Father, on not having the right heart of expectancy of you moving in this house week after week. Lord, whether it was life that got to me, whether it's my situation that got to me, or whether it's something that happened and things didn't go the way I expected it, whatever that is, Father, I'm sorry, first and foremost, for not having the expectancy of what you want to do in this house. And Father, now, knowing I'm forgiven because of your blood, knowing that you are so good to forgive, you know you want to do great things in me and to me, knowing that your thoughts are about me, like the grains of sand on a seashore, which is 5-6 trillion number, is how many thoughts you have towards me, and that you love me and want me to do great things. Thank you for your forgiveness, for my mindset, for my attitude of not expecting you to do great things in this house. And Father, right now, now I turn my eyes towards you, and I expect you to move in this house. I expect you to move in my life. Whether I'm at church, whether I'm in my car, whether I'm at the grocery store, whether I'm in my own home, I'm expecting you to move mightily wherever I am and giving you the permission, saying, God, come on in. We're going to do this together, Father. We're going to do this together, and it's going to be awesome. We give you the liberty. We give you the permission right now to do great things in us, oh God, right now. Because you love people, Father. You love us, and you love people, and you want us to do great things for people. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord, right now.